Lord, we thank you that you are always present to us, that you call out to us in darkness, and we can walk into your light. Amen. Lazarus, come out from the shadows, wrapped in cloth. He came, stumbling towards the light. This story about the raising of Lazarus is dramatic and intense. There's grief and disappointment. There's isolation and perplexity, confession and wonder. But this is not a comedy that ends well, because the climax only walks into further fear and violence. The call of Jesus can leave us feeling unsettled and disturbed, because the world always shakes when the dead live once again. This story presents us with a challenge. When Jesus calls us, what do we do? Do we look ahead like Martha? Do we sit like Mary, or do we just lie there like Lazarus? When Lazarus died, there were no poets assembled who would eulogize his character. There was no rabbi present to speak of his devotion. Lazarus was ordinary, perhaps distinguishable in only one way, that alongside his sisters Martha and Mary, Jesus loved Lazarus. Think about it for a moment. In a world where most social bonds were defined by family or fealty or enslavement, it's unusual to hear of a relationship that's characterized by love. He loved them. It's not that he tolerated them or put up with them. Nor were they simply convenient people to stay with whenever Jesus was popping into Jerusalem. Jesus was not waiting impatiently for them to understand everything so that they could then become wonderful disciples. In this moment, before Martha or Mary or Lazarus had done anything, Jesus loved them. A connection existed between them that involved affection, trust, respect, kindness. And it was out of this love that everything would flow. Love shapes who we are and what we become. Love gives us energy and a place in the world. Love opens up new vistas and propels us forward into fresh opportunities. More than anything else, love holds things together. It holds groups together, lives together, experiences together. And so when love is lost, heartbreak prevails. When Lazarus died, Martha and Mary are inconsolable. Anguish, despair, and hopelessness have taken over. Heartbreak is not so much something seen as something heard. It's that cry that erupts from the deepest part of our souls. When heartbreak happens, all time stops. The air is sucked out of us. And no wonder neighbors, family, and friends try to comfort these sisters who ache for the one presence that they needed, the presence they called for, the presence that didn't come. Lazarus lies in darkness, still, bound tight. His body is hollow, he's voiceless, unable to speak. He's central to the story, and yet he is incapable of doing anything or comforting anyone. While Mary looks ahead and Martha weeps, there is only silence from Lazarus as a heavy stone separates the living and the dead. Grief is something that fills us with questions. When we are grieving, we constantly replay what might have been, what could have been, what should have been. Where were you? They asked Jesus. We sent for you. But there was no word, no instruction, no healing. If you had shown up, Lazarus would still be here and we wouldn't be in this mess. Jesus' words and actions are perplexing. 2 days go by, and only then does Jesus tell his students that Lazarus has died. None of them want to go to Bethany because everyone understands the dangers that lie there. Only Thomas speaks in solidarity. Let's go die with him, he said, as Jesus speaks cryptically about awakening him and everybody else. When Jesus sees the tomb of his friend, he is deeply troubled and he begins to weep. Did he weep at the sight of sickness and death and grief in our world? Or did he weep from frustration that despite offering the light of faith to everyone, so many still stumbled around in darkness? Perhaps he wept because if he raised Lazarus, then his friend would be rudely taken out of God's presence to return to this world with a body that would only break down and die once more. Many at that time thought that there was still hope that someone who looked dead could recover as their spirit would linger for up to 3 days near the body. But Jesus waited 4 days so that standing before the doorway, when Jesus called out to Lazarus, it was to a body that had no chance of resuscitation. And yet, somehow, Lazarus emerged tightly bound, wrapped in a shroud, restored, but not yet resurrected. Healed of his illness, he is still in the same physical body that had been prepared for burial only days before. It's so frustrating that the story seems to end at this point because there's no explanation or word from Lazarus. I wonder, how did the sisters react at seeing their brother raised from the dead? What was this power that Jesus displayed? This love that was stronger than death? Were they delighted? Amazed? Terrified? As the story unfolds, we meet people who expected God to raise people up from the dead at the end of time, as Ezekiel foresaw, a time when the victory was achieved and God's reign was complete. No one expected Jesus to raise someone up in the middle of history, when faith was uncertain and love was all too fleeting. How could Jesus do something that only God could do? And why do it now? Raising Lazarus was no trick to prove Jesus' credentials. Instead, Jesus took this extraordinary step in order to awaken faith. Faith that was not merely an acknowledgement of Jesus' importance, but a deep confidence that through this Jesus, God's plan for the world's renewal would be working, that love would flow, that nothing could stop it. Instead of hearing from Lazarus, a cut scene shows us two very different responses. No one is left indifferent to what transpired that day. On the one hand, we see the authorities, who up until this point had been worried about how to contain this Jesus. But now they are alarmed. The sign has clear implications. The world could no longer stand the way that it was. Did you notice what they said? Our temple and our nation will be destroyed if those people believed. Bringing new life always means that nothing can stay as it is. I wonder if you were shocked as you heard the high priest, the one who is supposed to facilitate a connection between God and humanity, becomes the one who plans to kill, the one who wishes to restore everything. The other response is to stand alongside Martha. When Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life," the one who offers a life that cannot be contained by death, "Do you believe?" Martha stood alone. When she heard that Jesus was coming, she goes out to him, to meet him in the road. And her reply is not simply a matter of affirmation, but she speaks of her trust in the one that she knows loves her deeply. "Yes, Lord," she replies, "I have come to believe in you." She adds three titles in quick succession: Messiah, Son of God, the one coming into the world. Martha's confession is the pinnacle of John's gospel. To that point, no one had seen Jesus as he truly was. And here, she knows him for who he is. The person, the promised one, who will put all wrong things right. She knows him to be the person through whom God flows in an uninterrupted way. She knows him to be the one who is sent by the Father to love the whole world. And here we see the one whom Jesus loved, love him in return. Once this day was done, so many would see Jesus as Martha saw him. It's so easy for me to stop here and simply say, "Be like Martha." Only I know what deep loss and grief does to people. Loss comes in so many ways. A child who leaves home, a career that ends unexpectedly, A home that is sold because there's no option. A loved one who dies. An illness that just won't leave us. All of this is so heartbreaking. And I know that in that moment, it is so difficult for us to stand alongside Martha. If anything, most of us find ourselves sitting with Mary in her room. We are unable to see anything beyond the pain that we are experiencing too. Like Mary, it's okay to hold on to others who can see and hear God. Jesus never criticized, belittled, or rebuked Mary for sitting in her grief. I can't help but think that perhaps Jesus wept at the graveside because he wept with someone he loved deeply, who in that moment was simply inconsolable. Because that is what love does. When you break, God's heart breaks too. Because God's heart is always with us. When grief strikes, most of us find ourselves lying there like Lazarus, unable to move, stinking to high heaven. But even then, God calls out to us in the middle of our helplessness and our hopelessness. God calls out to us, "Don't stay in that darkness, Lazarus. Come out into the light. Come out into life. Come out into connection." All because he loves us. There are times when we do feel dead, but God's Spirit can stir within us to bring life back to our limbs and air back to our lungs. You can find the power to walk free and become your truest self. You won't know when, you won't know how, but Christ can and does call us back into life because love is big enough and strong enough and deep enough to hold us wherever we might be. That even when we can't see to the end, Christ can and does reach out to us and to us all. Amen.